Welcome back, folks. I've got an important segment for you here today. Maybe timely. Maybe some of you right now who are pregnant, about to give birth, or maybe you know people, they're about to give birth, and they will be pressured in the delivery room to inject their child with any number of things, one of which that seems the most benign would be the vitamin K shot. It's probably one of the least objected to because it's a vitamin. I mean, how bad can a vitamin be, right? Sure, I might not want my kid injected with hepatitis B vaccine the minute they're born, but good old vitamin K? I used to take Flintstones with that vitamin. It must be fine, right? The problem is it's totally unnecessary. And this is the obvious consequence of the deliberate deception of those in power who have utilized things that we as humans are vulnerable in, like medical care, to take advantage of us, right? If you just tell somebody to do something, they might not do it. If you tell them that their grandmother will die if they don't do it, they're probably going to do it. So it's a very convenient way to convince people, using the medical industry, using medical jargon, laundering your lies through doctors. It's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of this sacred activity of healthcare. And they're experiencing the consequences of it now. The headline: more parents are refusing vitamin K for their newborns. Here's why that's a bad idea, from Gizmodo. They're freaking out about this. They discovered that the percentage of newborns not receiving vitamin K noticeably rose from 2.9% in 2017 to 5.18% in 2024, a 77% relative increase. And they say part of this may stem from the COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic fueled mistrust of public health authorities for both legitimate and not so legitimate reasons. Well, mostly legitimate, I would say. So people now question what it is they're putting into their body. They know that the medical industry is not above lying for convenience. And so they're questioning everything, most especially the shot you get the minute that your kid is born. Here's why it's unnecessary. Clip number 7. You may want to bookmark this, save it away. I know what happens to me where I go, I know it's wrong, but I can't remember exactly why. Here's why. Here's why you don't need the vitamin K shot. You shouldn't get the vitamin K shot. The vitamin K shot is unnecessary if you just listen to your body and deliver a baby the way God intended. Let's watch.
I get a lot of questions asking about the vitamin K shot, so let's talk about the vitamin K shot, shall we? Most parents have no idea why babies are born with low vitamin K, and it's not a flaw in the design, it's part of the design they never explain to you. Babies are born with low vitamin K for a reason, and a very good one at that. At birth, their cord blood is loaded with stem cells that rush to any damaged areas from labor. If newborns had high vitamin K levels at birth, that stem cell-rich cord blood wouldn't migrate the same way. That's why delayed cord clamping is so crucial. When you clamp immediately, you steal up to a third of the baby's blood volume and the stem cells meant for healing. Meanwhile, colostrum, that liquid gold a mother produces immediately after birth, has way higher vitamin K than mature breast milk. Again, not a mistake, not a coinky-dinky doodle. It's how God designed the system. But instead of honoring that system, the hospital jumps straight to a synthetic vitamin K injection. Before the cord is done transferring, before the baby is even 5 minutes old. And they never mention the oral option that bypasses the injection completely and all of the poison in the shot. Poison like polysorbate 80, which opens the blood-brain barrier, which is not a good thing. Propylene glycol, which is an industrial solvent used in, ready for this, antifreeze. Castor oil derivatives, benzyl alcohol, which is linked to gasping syndrome in newborns. And in some formulations, if you're unlucky enough, their favorite poison, aluminum. All injected into a brand new immune system within minutes of life. It's insane, guys. This isn't protective. This is interference with long-term consequences they never talk about. If you want the real information, the real history, the real ingredients, and the confidence to navigate newborn decisions like vitamin K, vaccines, antibiotics, fevers, and the entire pediatric gauntlet, join my school community, The Healthy Truth.
The Healthy Truth, there it is. Tons of great information. Just don't clamp cord and breastfeed. You don't need the vitamin K shot. It's pretty simple. You can also get the oral one. You don't need it injected. You can take it orally.
My fellow InfoWarriors, you have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025 at midnight to get 40% off site-wide. That means all the incredible supplements, Methylene Red, back in stock, Bovine Colostrum, Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox. It's all in stock right now, and it funds the tip of the spear. These are incredible products. Do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Enrich your health, your vitality, your life. They make great gifts, and it gives the gift to all of us of keeping this operation on the air in the face of the globalists. And 40% off is a huge deal with the t-shirts, the ball caps, the hoodies, the sweaters, all the apparel, because there's only about 60% markup in the apparel. So that is one hell of a deal. Please do your Christmas shopping right now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. Thank you for being the heart of this operation. Thank you for your support. You have till this Sunday, site-wide, 40% off.
Tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
We have all of these foreigners and the Russian government, the official Chinese government. Mao said political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. He killed about 80 million people because he's the only guy that had the guns. So we did it to point out that this is globalism. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
How many gun murders were there in Britain?
How many great white sharks?
No, how many...
kill people every year, but they're scared to swim.
Right. How many gun murders were there in Britain?
A very low amount. I already went over those statistics.
How many, do you know?
It was only a few hundred.
No. How many gun murders?
I actually did pull up the statistics. Here, let me pull them out right here. I figured you'd do that.
Gun murders
in
Britain last
UK
year.
Violent crime, capital of Europe. London Telegraph. Here, let me
give
you
one. It's quite a simple question.
Well, that's the oldest.
You're a very loud
that's the
man.
No, that's the oldest Perry Mason tactic to ask me some little factoid.
It's not a little factoid.
I already said earlier,
we're talking about
England has a lot lower gun crime rate because you took all the guns.
Let me try exactly
but
my
But you've
point.
Got hordes of people burning down cities and beating old women's brains out every day.
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there?
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
In Britain last year.
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin? Hmm. I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
You said hundreds.
It's very low.
You said hundreds.
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is you can...
Against 11,000. Do you understand the difference between 11,000
and 35? Yeah, England wants
35.
To ban knives now because tens of thousands are getting stabbed.
Right. But do you understand the
knives?
Difference?
The knife doesn't kill people.
Do you understand?
The gun doesn't kill people.
Yes.
Listen, do you understand
between 35
you're not going to pull on America's heartstrings? They know your script.
Mao took the guns. Hitler took the guns. Amazing stuff. That's how you need to treat Piers Morgan. I liked Rex Jones tweeted that out yesterday and said he needs to be yelled at. He needs to be hollered at is what Piers Morgan needs.
As thick as can be, isn't he? Just thick.
You know, but there's a reason they don't invite Alex on CNN anymore. It's a shame. They could use a little yelling at every once in a while. Of course, in studio with me, Patrick Byrne. You can follow him on X at Patrick Byrne and enemywithindocuseries.com is where you go to find that document series. And of course, been on many times talking about Venezuela and other topics. How are you doing, sir?
Good, Harrison. Good to be on. Thanks.
Very happy to have you. And I know you want to get into stuff other than Venezuela. What do you want to get into today?
Oh, happy to get into Venezuela. I've also just broke something on Alex that he said that maybe you might want to talk about dealing with Hunter Biden. But we can talk about Venezuela. We can talk about Tina Peters and that travesty of justice. There's a wonderful letter from Peter Tichtin now.
That's the letter. No, I haven't seen that yet. I heard you talk to Alex about this, so I know that's what you want to get into. And I would like to get into that because I want to know what the latest with Tina Peters is. But what is the latest with Venezuela? Since last time, what have the developments been?
Well, this morning, for the first time, we have F-18s over Venezuela. It's shown up, and they haven't been in stealth mode. Their transponders are going. So we're probably just trying to ratchet up. But we had on the radar this morning, they were showing that there's a city right on the coast that we had actually F-18s flying over this morning over Venezuelan territory. Mm. So we're upping the stakes until they either do something about it, or they realize it's fruitless and they should just leave. And I wish, I know that Trump likes to drive a hard bargain, but I, our dear president, I wish he would say, maybe this is one time. It's not just if they want to leave and we let them go. And bygones, bygones, they can go. If it's got, you know, we'll spend so much money fighting the war that if they're just willing to go and save us the money, I think we should avoid the war if we can.
Yeah, I think so. And it seems like Trump is, I don't want to sort of give up the game here, but it seems like he's trying to intimidate them into leaving. He's trying to, you know, ratchet up as much as possible, but I don't think he really wants to go to war. It seems to me like he, you know, one of the things he beats his chest about pretty regularly is the fact that he's ended wars and not started any wars. It seems like he's just sort of piling up all the firepower he can, but does he intend to actually use it?
Yeah, he has to. Well, he has to if they don't do what needs to be done. And I'm anti-war. I'm not a war. Any war I ever did support, I've regretted. I'm totally anti-war. I've seen war and its aftermath, and there's nothing glamorous. And it's a real last resort. But for the reasons Peter Tichtin said, you know, that this is the most serious crime perpetrated against the United States in history, we have to change the regime in Venezuela. The cancer of Latin America, first of all, everyone we fight, from Hezbollah and Hamas to the Chinese, Russians, the Basque, I mean, we don't care about that. Every terrorist group in America has made Venezuela sort of their second home.
Their hub.
And we have... And what we have learned is they have overthrown us in a multi-pronged attack that involved 25 years of counter-espionage and infiltrating our government. It involves this whole fake election industry. It involves the drugs, the whole drug trade, which turns out to be a weapon. They understand it now, we know, as it's been weaponized. And then lastly, what they just did to Trinidad and Aragua. And they, with Trinidad and Aragua getting in our country and hundreds of thousands of other trained terrorists from south of Venezuela. So this was a four-pronged attack to overthrow our country we were never supposed to get out of. We got out of it because of a lucky uppercut on November 5th, 2024. That's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen again. But we have a lucky uppercut that kind of took out their election cheating system for a few days. And it's the only – so – but this – Peter Tichtin just wrote – Tina Peters' lawyer wrote this where he described this as the biggest crime in the United States history. And it really is. It's 10,000 times worse than Pearl Harbor.
Why is Trump not making that the point then? Because so far, everything I've seen from the Trump administration is about the drugs, which I – I've also seen that it's, you know, fentanyl is mostly comes across the Mexican border as it's made in Mexico. So why are they making drugs the center point of their pitch to the American people if it's really about all this other stuff?
Well, I can't answer for the way they think or why they communicate as they do. I do know that the argument about, well, this and that percent of fentanyl comes through Venezuela and only this percent of cocaine, it's all misguided. Because the cartels of Latin America, including the four Mexican cartels, they're the little brothers. The big brother is the Venezuelan cartel. This is all a Cuban-Venezuelan strategy, you know, communist overthrow. And they have ruined Latin America. One thing we've learned is we have the list of the bribes they've paid to politicians around Latin America. Every man of the person, every politician you've heard of on the left or in the center for your generation and for the last generation are all paid off. I'm talking about the Kitcheners, the couple who ran Argentina for forever, the guy from Ecuador, I forget his name, but this left guy, man of the people. It's like $700 million went to the Kitcheners, $250 million went to Ecuador. This guy named Danny Ortega in Nicaragua, and it was like $300 or $400 million he got. So these men of the people out there running, immiserating their country, their countries, they actually are getting great big deposits, great big cash or deposits in Switzerland. They're totally – so they're just the source of corruption and subversion in the Americas and need to be dealt with.
Yeah. I just wonder, I was watching a guy, a colonel or something, and you know, he brought up a concern that I hadn't really thought of, which is like, I understand that, but is that a very compelling thing to tell to like the parents whose sons will die from this? Because like, and we're showing some videos. I mean, Venezuela is not—it's not going to be knocked over, right? It's not a house of cards that is just going to collapse. It seems like they're ready to fight, and it seems like, you know, they back up to the rainforest. I mean, I don't know. It seems to me like it's got all the makings of a quagmire, and I don't understand what the what the pitch is. If you're, you know, a parent whose son signed up for the army and gets killed in Venezuela, like what are you dying for? What are they dying for?
They're dying for it because Venezuela committed not just an act of war against us, an act of conquest. They overthrew us. They held us for 4 years. They had a stoop who opened the gates of the city on the hill, and 20 million military men showed up. It was a stage in the conquest. There's never been, I think since the American Revolution, there's not been a more necessary war since maybe the Civil War. Other than maybe the Civil War, this is more necessary than World War I or World War II. This was an attack on the United States, a existential attack, and we barely escaped it. This isn't some battlefield 5,000 miles away. This happened right here, and it's going to happen again. We've got the Cuban Venezuela. People have trouble imagining this because it's such a shithole little republic. How could it? No, it's... It may seem silly, it may seem like a banana republic, but their subversion and espionage is world class. And this is what Americans don't have any natural sense of espionage. We do about wars and World War II and all this heavy equipment stuff. We don't just in our DNA understand espionage and the evil and the subversion that comes with it. So, yeah, I think this is the most... Now, this idea of this being in a quagmire, and I know Iraq, you know, people compared to Iraq or Vietnam, you know, Iraq had several major religions and a lot of people who were very different living there. Venezuela is like 98% Christian. They play baseball. It's like, it's very easy. And they've lived under communism for 25 years. So you can be like all, but maybe at the top, 10% of the people, tops, really support the regime, right. maybe even smaller than that. So I don't think it's going to be a quagmire. But in any case, if we're not going to do this, then there's no point in having a military. Right. This government overthrew our country. We can't let it slide. And some of the worst voices around Trump have been telling him all year, hey, listen, let's not get into listen to that. Let's let bygones be bygones with Venezuela. We'll bury the hatchet. They're willing to give us some oil field concessions, this and that. That's all the CIA talking. The CIA and Rick Grenell do not want us to get in war in Venezuela because I think they're controlled. I think they're controlled assets. And fortunately, Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, who has pleasantly surprised me, Marco Rubio, who I worried initially that he might have some cartel ties, he's being more plus royal que le roi, the French say, more royalist than the king. He is standing up to the cartels and saying, we have to do this. So I got to admire that.
Yeah, interesting. I just don't know. I don't know. I can't co-sign it personally. I understand the method. I just think there's more things to be concerned about. Like if, you know, the Tren de Aragua obviously, you know, did a lot of damage here, but it's like, okay, what I would be for is if we're going after Venezuela at the same time, we're treating Alejandro Mayorkas like he's a enemy combatant, right? Because if that's what it was, if it was, you know, this act of war by Venezuela and they had collaborators here, then why aren't the collaborators here getting arrested first, right? And that wouldn't that be the first thing that you do is get the people in your country that collaborated before you go after Venezuela?
Maybe. I don't know. Have you heard about there's a new letter that came out last night from another Venezuelan general? You know, the head of military intelligence came out a couple of weeks ago.
I remember that one. Yeah, I thought this was the same letter. There's a new letter. Okay.
And it goes further. It establishes how Venezuela is a pure narco-terrorist state. This is a Venezuelan general. It's a narco-terrorist state led by two siblings named Rodriguez, Jorge Rodriguez and Delcy Rodriguez, they confirmed that Tren de Aragua, here's the letter up on the screen. Let's slide through this slowly. So this is the man introducing himself. Scroll down a bit, please. I'm providing information about the criminal structure that dictatorial governs Venezuela. So first,
the siblings, Jorge and Delcy Rodriguez.
Those are the two names that people have to learn. And I just dropped a big thing on Alex's show. These two siblings, the boy, it's the Rodriguez siblings. The boy, Jorge Rodriguez, is a psychiatrist, but he's like Hannibal Lecter. The girl is Dart Delcy. She's the vice president. They are really the masterminds of everything we've been fighting the last 25 years. It's really these two. They are really the ones running Venezuela. The president of Venezuela is really about number five on the true list. The cartel is over him, and then the cartel reports to these two. And I dropped a big bomb on Alex. People did not know this. It had never been reported. But do you remember Carlos the Jackal, or are you too young? There used to be this masked world terrorist, Carlos the Jackal.
I don't remember him.
In the 80s, there was the most wanted. He was like Osama bin Laden before there was Osama bin Laden. And he was eventually killed. But he was actually their stepfather. Their real father was a narco-terrorist kidnapper who kidnapped somebody, and he got arrested and he died in prison in like 1976 or 78. They fled to France with their mother. Their mother joined up in Paris with Carlos the Jackal, who was living in Paris for years. I think that's where eventually was killed. So they're actually the god. That's Carlos the Jackal. They're actually the stepchildren of the greatest terrorists in the world from the 80s. They hate us. They think that the U.S. killed their father. But their father was in prison for kidnapping an American. I'd say rough justice. So that's who, and this is them. This is the two siblings that really run Venezuela, although they don't show up on paper as the leaders. They cartel, which is Diosdado Cabello, report to them, and then they're over the president. So I try to keep the names. People, when they hear too many names, they lose it. So that's one thing to know. TDA, the CIA, and others around Trump were trying to say, well, yeah, a bunch of these terrorists came, but we don't know if they really, these turned out, we don't know if they really report to the Venezuelan government. It's a flat lie. We know absolutely. And the general who put it together is the guy who just wrote this letter. The general who just wrote this letter says, I was the guy, there was a prison riot. I went in to quell the riot. And then I got orders from these people not to kill everybody. And they brought down the Minister of Sports. And the Minister of Sports became the handler of the prison gang. And then we started using the prison gang all over Venezuela to do our dirty work. So that's one. And now they have sent tens of thousands. The real problem with Tren de Aragua is in southern Vietnam, there are all these terrorist training camps from all over the world. Terrorists come show up and get their training. The Tren de Aragua folks have been trained. There's an element within them who've been trained to be terrorist cell leaders. So when all these people came, hundreds of thousands in the United States, when you have a guerrilla movement like this, you do cells, of course, and each cell has a leader. The TDA has a bunch of trained cell leaders, thousands of them. So it's really so that's one thing they did. Another thing they did is he identifies the Venezuelan army general, Carlos Quintero, an engineer, is over the Smartmatic. And in fact, he engineered frauds using Smartmatic in Venezuela and in the USA. So now they've confirmed, we got a second Venezuelan general confirming Smartmatic was built to steal elections in Venezuela, and then it got exported to the rest of the world, and we've done it in your country. Relations with Iran. Venezuela has close ties with Iran, IRGCC, and Hezbollah. There's a famous island off Venezuela called Isla Margarita. It's supposed to be the most beautiful girls in the world and everything. It has become like what Daytona Beach used to be. I don't know if it still is. Daytona Beach for college kids at spring break was the big thing. Isla Margarita is now the Daytona Beach of Hezbollah worldwide. Right. It's just Hezbollah and Hamas. Another thing in this letter, the guy says, is I was there when U.S. Congress visited and Maduro and Chavez bragged that we own these U.S. congressmen. Now, the letter that was released last night does not name it, but people should understand the letter that was released last night was just sort of the PG version. There is an R-rated version, and the R-rated version of that letter, they do name exact. They name names, who the congressmen are on the take from Venezuela, and as well as all the details on these other things. The drug trafficking has been, drug trafficking is not some random stochastic activity. It's been weaponized. Cuba and Venezuela weaponized it. So these Mexican cartels we fight, they're the little brothers. This is the headquarters. Venezuela is the headquarters. And then, so to me, the fact that all that ugly background is bad enough that we have this in our backyard. But on top of it, they overthrew our country for 4 years, and they're still trying this. You know, they're funding Soros. Soros is billions. A bunch of it comes from Venezuela. They overthrew our country. They installed Biden, and they sent all these people into our country. This, if we don't change that regime, I'm not sure what we have a military for. And I'm sorry if you have a son that goes there and that son wasn't willing to die for that. I'm not sure why your son joined the army. There's never been a threat to the United States in my lifetime, or I think since the Civil War, there's never been a threat like this.
Yeah, here's what the actual letter says you're describing from Mayor General Cliver Antonio Alcala Cordones. He says,
Alcala. Let's just go by the third name is the General
Alcala.
Is the guy.
He says, I served in my country's army for 34 years. In 2011, while stationed in the state of Aragua, I led the military takeover of Torrejon prison. Despite political pressure from some members of the Venezuelan government to prevent the operation, I carried it out and took military control of the facility, resulting in the death of 16 criminals. The leaders of the criminal group, now known as Tren de Aragua, were held in that prison. The then Minister of Sport, Antonio Enrique Alvarez Cicerone Cisneros, better known as Porto Alvarez, was sent by Chavez to have direct contact and coordinate the criminal leaders in those prisons. After Chavez's death in 2013 and Nicolas Maduro's assumption of power, I requested my retirement from the army despite offers to continue because I was unwilling to serve under his command. It became clear to me that a criminal gang leader was taking power. From that moment on, it became public knowledge that I became a staunch opponent of the dictator Maduro.
I think he may have actually tried some kind of coup against Maduro, lost, and went to Colombia. Anyway, he went to Colombia and then eventually was picked up by the U.S. in Colombia and made a deal with the U.S.
Interesting. And so, yeah, I was thinking, I'd forgotten. I was thinking Tina Peters was like a separate and distinct, but I guess these are related if it's the Smartmatic machines, the Dominion machines that are happening. So what does the letter from her lawyers say about any of this?
The letters from her lawyer confirm that we now have, we had a bunch of stuff that we got through our discovery with Dominion. My attorney turned it over. You know, she says, look, we had an agreement with Dominion. It's just between us. It all has to be private. Some stuff showed up in that was the legal equivalent of opening the box and finding a severed head in it. And she says, it doesn't matter what the private agreement was. I have a bar obligation, Patrick, and we have a legal obligation. This has to be turned in. And she turned it into law enforcement through a sheriff in Michigan who has continued investigating. That is, and so a whole bunch of this stuff eventually leaked out through him. And a bunch of the material is referenced here. We never referenced it because until we had it from other places, because I didn't want people saying, oh, you got this already, Dominion discovery. But we now know this to be true. Dominion acted as an ELOC was supported and controlled by foreign actors. This is a foreign intel operation against our country. Dominion is a nothing burger. Dominion's a hood ornament. Dominion's gone now, right? It disappeared in the vapor. And no one can get a clear story. It's the amazing thing. They say they sold the company one to another and they're dropping all their lawsuits. Well, we dig into it. They didn't sell their company from one to another. They filed a change of name. They changed their name, the Secretary of State. They may have sold stock in the background. So we're saying, well, is that what you did? Pardon me, they won't answer that. I think they did it to use as an excuse, so they can say later, well, we sold it. And when we sold it, we destroyed all the equipment, as is normal in a sale. Well, A, that's not normal in a sale. B, that equipment's under all kinds of federal subpoena and federal laws and regulations. C, it's just a transparent way for them to try to eliminate their past.
Well, they had a lot of help from Americans here to do it. I know Dominion was just one of the tactics they used to steal the election. Really, the election was fraudulent from the beginning. We'll be right back with more. Patrick Byrne is with me. Follow him on X at Patrick Byrne. EnemyWithinDocuSeries.com is the website. Stay tuned, folks.
For me, with everything going on, the big takeaway is the world is in a fourth turning, a mega change. Globalists know that. Their plan is failing. And just because we're opposing them doesn't mean things aren't going to derail and get really, really nasty. It just means coming out of all these crises, we have a shot of building a civilization and having some civilization survive and then rebooting it and building something even better going into a new golden era. Anyone in general not rooting for Trump and his economic plans is insane. And for the left, not to share, but around the world, that one economic collapse, believing they're going to bring in their new socialist utopia or communist utopia on its ashes, in all the actuaries and all the futurist studies and all the Rand Corporation analysis and my own, and there's really nobody, including the establishment, that thinks you're going to get your New World Order, transhumanist, you know, communist, Great Reset now. That's what everyone's rebelling against. That's the old system that they were trying to push as the new system. But just because that's falling apart, again, doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. And I came across articles today talking about rich enclaves in the United States, and there's others around the world, where the ultra-rich don't want to be next to a big city. They don't want to be next to the glitz and glamour. There's mass exoduses to rural areas where they're building armored redoubts where you'll have 20 to 30 to 40 rich people, and I mean people building $40 million houses and bunkers, ahead of what's happening. And then there's even more ultra-rich that have all sorts of hidden facilities in the middle of nowhere. And the ultra-rich have giant fleets of yachts and flotillas where you've got a lot of these Google billionaires will have a line of 6-7 ships, some that are just massive. And they own private islands in the South Pacific, but then they also know things are so dangerous, they're ready to flee there. So that acceleration of people running for the hills and building their bunkers has been going on for a long time, but it's just peaking and peaking and peaking is a big deal. So when you got signs like that, it gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're navigating here. Yeah, here he is this year warning of Terminator-style apocalypse. Oh, well. You can go back to 2005-06 where I did reports on that, but now this information is everywhere. And like I've said to Zuckerberg on air and in other ways, in the last few years, I said, you better come and join us. You better stop attacking us from behind. If you think you're going to be safe in that armored fortress you've built there in Kauai, think again. I'm not threatening you. I can tell you I love Kauai. I've been there many times. The last few times I went, I cannot go to a store, to the beach, anywhere, or go on a fishing trip without everybody telling me how they can't wait till things collapse to come get you. I mean, the villagers practically have their torches lit. Well, Zuckerberg's got escape yachts as well and reportedly an escape submarine and underground deal. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The point is, guys, that's not going to protect you long term if stuff collapses. What's going to protect you is getting out of what you're doing and helping turn civilization and society around, okay? And if you think during a total collapse at a few weeks or a few months into it that your security detail isn't going to turn on you, that's a whole other thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room coming to you live, of course, from the InfoWars headquarters. You can support us, and I hope you do, by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com right now is 40% off absolutely everything on the site. Keeps us on the air, keeps us in the fight, keeps you in tip-top fighting shape with our incredible supplements. And, of course, now's the time. Do your shopping now so you're geared up and ready to go for New Year's whenever you have your often difficult to stick to resolutions. It's easier to do if you've got some chemical help, let's just say. Of course, Patrick Byrne is in studio with me. I know you're a big fan of the methylene blue.
I am. I discovered it through you guys. I'm not just saying that. The days I take this, I never have a wasted day. And there's nothing speedy or nothing unhealthy about it. But you just don't feel like laying in bed and wasting your day. And
it's amazing stuff, isn't it?
When I run out of that, I'll find myself wasting time playing video games,
right?
Stupid stuff.
Well, and you've been taking it for a couple months now, so the effect isn't going down. It still hits you like it used to.
That's fine.
That's awesome. So yeah, Ultra Methylene Blue, of course, on sale now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get yours today. We don't just sell this stuff. We actually take it because it's actually good for you, because why would we sell you something that we wouldn't want ourselves? So please do support us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Massive discounts right now on absolutely everything in the store. And with that, we get back to our topic, Venezuela. And again, I've been burned too many times. I've seen too many, you know, easy to win wars turn into total quagmires. And I really worry that the people around Trump aren't leading him down a primrose path, especially when the CIA is so involved in all of this. And of course, South America has been the playground for the CIA for God knows how long.
The CIA is trying to talk him out of it. Rick Grenell and the CIA are trying to not have him do it. And they're having what they just want to appoint, have Delcy Rodriguez take over. So we go from Maduro to, it's going from cartel to cartel heavy, really. It's
so the puppet to the puppet master.
Really, it doesn't do it. But the CIA and Grenell are down. Rick Grenell was down in Venezuela. I'm not sure this is public. Rick Grenell was down in Venezuela last week trying to get this deal done where we accept Delcy Rodriguez, which would mean this was all for naught. It's all going to happen again. It's going to happen. It's insane that would be. And the CIA has been fighting us to do anything. It's because if we don't install Delcy, if the woman who actually is supported by the whole country, 85% of the country, takes office, we're going to get all the truth. And the truth is we're going to learn that the cartel and the CIA have been all up inside each other's panties for 30 years. And that's the secret the CIA wants to hide.
Interesting. Okay, so Rick Grenell was in Venezuela last week negotiating to try to replace Maduro with this woman. Are they thinking that...
And that's not public. That's quite a big... that's not public. I've dropped that on you guys. That's that happened last week.
Yeah, that's... That's crazy. So that makes sense. So the CIA is basically... They want to replace Maduro with somebody else that is not any different than Maduro, but would allow them to say, we did it, mission successful.
Right.
You know, this was all worth it because Maduro's out. Really, they're just slotting in somebody just like Maduro, and they're doing that in order to cover up the 30 years of cooperation they've had. Because the Cartelas de las Solas, I asked you during the breaks, I remember early on when you came on months ago, maybe even a year ago, you were talking about Cartel de las Solas, and it's the Cartel of the Sun, and it's the patch that the generals in Venezuela, so it's literally like the cartel is their military, but their beginnings may have been associated with the CIA, right?
Well, there's rumors that in this last few weeks we're hearing that there may be a connection between CIA and Cuba and Hugo Chavez back to 92, 93. We know that Chavez was a creature Fidel. Hugo Chavez was a bastard son of some relatively important business guy, I think. And he had a bunch of kids, and he wouldn't recognize his bastard son. And so he always had that narcissistic wound. And Fidel Castro recognized that and became the father figure to Hugo Chavez and taught him revolutionary theory and Bolivarian and yada, yada. And so that's that connection between the two of them, that they were very close like that. He was the father figure to him. But it may have been the CIA was involved in all this.
Yeah. Well, they had their fingers in all the pies down there in South America, especially during the 80s, Iran-Contra and all that. And, you know, I wonder if there's not a bigger game at play here. Because, you know, it was also in 2017 that we put a bunch of sanctions on Venezuela, and they were already not doing well. And I guess the idea was that if we sanction them, they're in this sort of economic precipice, and then we'll sanction them and that'll push them over the edge. But instead, that ended up just opening the door for China. I guess they had $60 billion of debt to China, and China said, well, we'll waive it. And so again, it's like the American regime keeps doing this stuff that seems to be pushing our enemies into the hands of our enemies, because the same thing they did with Russia, where like if I'm looking at the world as a risk game, I want Russia on my team. We're both European. We have a lot more together than we do apart. Plus, they're this big landmass sort of arcing over China. If China is my ultimate enemy, the last thing I want to do is drive Russia into their arms. But that's what all the sanctions did. Venezuela, same type of thing. So is this just the deep state of America, like setting this up and What would be the end goal of that, do you think?
Well, I mean, setting up us going to Venezuela? No, they're terrified. They do not want us into Venezuela. The way to get at the deep state is to do Venezuela. The deep state is doing everything it can to block us going in. And I'll tell you why. And I dropped this earlier on Alex. Rick Grenell is being blackmailed, I believe. I have two sources of information in Eastern Europe, men I was working with when I was overseas the last couple of years. One's a gangster and one is from an intelligence service from different countries, unrelated countries, but they both have activities within Serbia and a lot of knowledge within Serbia. They say Rick Grenell, but totally unrelated, don't know each other, different countries and different spheres. One's intelligence service from his country, one's mafia from his country. And they say that Grenell was there a couple years ago and he banged a 14, 15-year-old boy, and the Russians have the tapes, which means he's owned. And that may explain why he is working so much against U.S. and Trump interests and trying to tell Trump. He and John Ratcliffe has a similar problem. John Ratcliffe, I've told from a very good source within the intelligence community, John Ratcliffe had made two mistakes, two young women, when he first got to D.C. and got excited and feeling his oats. He got lured into two hotel rooms on different occasions, young woman but not underage, and the rooms were wired for sound. We're for video. And so he's owned as well. And that would explain two things to me. One is I went to see John Ratcliffe 17 months into the first Trump term. And I chose him because he was on the Nunes committee. And I started laying out to him the stuff about the Hillary bribe, that the whole Russia thing was a hoax, this and that. He kept it under wraps. He kept it up for 5 months. We had this communication, actually, then one, and his whole thing was just stay quiet. We're, you know, it's not right yet. It's not right yet. I said to him by November 2022, I think I'm just going to go on Fox and go public. No, I'm sorry. By November 2018, I told him, I think it's just time I go on Fox and come forward about things. He said, no, it won't do any good. It won't do any good. There's no rule of law in America. It won't do any good. Just wait a couple months. There'll be a new attorney general. It's either going to be me or it's going to be William Barr. Let's just wait. Didn't quite say it that way. But I said, I understand you're in the running, you and Barr. And I said, yeah, and just wait. And then when it was Barr, he actually arranged for me to get in and see them. But Barr turns out to have been, you see, it's turning out
who
Barr.
Who isn't a turncoat? Like, it's so great. Everybody's blackmailed. Everybody is undermining Trump.
You want to know the truth about Epstein?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I know two truths about Epstein. I'll tell you one. I'm not sure I'm going to tell you the other. But one of them is there's 3,000 to 3,500 people around the world, aristocrats from Europe, bankers, politicians, movie stars, the good and great, the so-called elite who've been filmed either with kids or like eating baby brains. Maybe not necessarily because they wanted, but you saw what came out with LeBron James, right, about P. Diddy. Some of these guys, LeBron James and other gangster rap guys, I mean, LeBron James, basketball player, allegedly before he got his $100 million Nike contract, he had to go into a room and P. Diddy and play catcher for a while on video. And all these big gangsters turn out, I mean, gangster rap guys all turn out to before they get their big contract, they go in and get, they get shagged by P. Diddy and four or five of his guys. And you know how he was tried and Comey's daughter.
By Maureen Comey, yeah.
Maureen Comey didn't introduce a tape, didn't bring any up. She threw the fight.
Right.
She threw the fight as best she could. That's one, I'll stop there. I'll stop there. I mean, where do you want to go from that?
I don't know. I kind of want to hear the other secret. No, but yeah, I think that makes sense. And I mean, again, it's like, why is Maureen Comey in charge of this? Why was she in charge of Epstein and the P. Diddy case? Why are all of these people controlled? And it really does all seem to go back to these blackmail networks.
It was really the Clintons who made blackmail the big part of American politics. SDNY, Comey was at SDNY as well, Maureen Comey. She has prevented either of these generals. SDNY has been fighting like hell to keep anyone from anyone else, like people trying to put together the Venezuelan picture, couldn't interview them. Tulsi, different people wanted to interview them. The CIA told them, they don't have any useful information. Yeah, the guy who ran Venezuelan military intelligence for years. No, he doesn't have anything worth debriefing him over. That seems odd, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they and SDNY, who had control of the case, would not let anyone near these people to get this information. We had to get a person as a paralegal onto their legal team to get them into the prisons to interview them and get them to write these letters. They've been trying to turn this over, and they've contacted us. These Venezuelans in prison contacted us and wanted, and SDNY, i.e. Marie Comey, the woman who lost the P. Diddy case and some other things she's thrown, we had to finagle like hell to get to these generals and get this information.
That is extremely bizarre. It's just so complicated. So, but I mean, I guess it makes sense because you do need the cooperation from people in America. Because that, again, is the frustrating thing to me. It's like, yes, Trinde Aragua is causing a lot of problems here. I would not be surprised if they had, you know, terrorist networks like you're describing with the, you know, independent actors sort of designing their own, you know, terrorist organizations in all these different spots. I totally believe that. They'd never be able to get here if the gates weren't open for them, right? They wouldn't be able to get here if Biden didn't open the floodgates. So it's like, okay, if we're going to go after Venezuela for all of this, I would like to see a two-pronged approach where we're at the same time going after their collaborators here. And like declaring that, you know, and subjecting them to like military courts because it's an act of war. Yeah.
Seconded.
So what, but why aren't we seeing, I guess it's just.
Maybe that comes next. That comes after you get Venezuela, you get all that side done. Until right now, I think to some people talking about this stuff, until we get it done, this all just still sounds like kooky conspiracy theory to some people. So why don't we, there's all kinds of people in Venezuela ready to come forward in Venezuela right now who are dying to come forward on television and explain how everything worked, how everything works, how they rigged our elections, everything. Well, I'm in touch with all kinds of people there. We have so much support in Venezuela. If I told you the levels of support we have within the military and the police, that's, I think, what may be slowing things down, too. There is such a hope, and it's a reasonable hope, that we can get this done just through people take caring. You know, somebody, the guy who puts a bullet in Maduro's head is going to make $50 million.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to, but the problem is these guys are all in it together, and they won't let him leave without getting a ticket for themselves. And it's a three-way negotiation that's not really getting in anywhere.
Yeah, that's tough. Cause I could understand the method of the Trump administration of like, we're going to intimidate Venezuela and basically the Venezuelan army is going to go, yeah, we're not about to go to war with America. We'll give you Maduro and hopefully serve up Maduro on a silver platter. But if you've had 25 years of communistic control, I mean, that's an entire generation of people born and raised in this mindset and under their education programs. I think it's going to be hard to break them out of that.
I know. After form. 25 years under communism, these people are like, do you remember Scarface? It's one of my favorite lines in any movie, Scarface.
Yeah.
Al Pacino. He's in that Muriel boat lift and he's living under a bridge in a camp. And they come to him and they say, listen, we've made an arrangement. We're going to get a green card and $3,000 and you're going to get out of here. You just have to kill this guy for us. And when he finds out who it is, that is a Fidel communist who had a falling out with Fidel and now he's in this boat lift. He's like, you tell him I'll take the credit card. I'll take the green card. I'll take the job, but you don't pay me. Nobody pays me to kill a communist. No, I kill communists for free. No one's going to pay me to kill a communist. That's what these people hate. I was there 6 years ago. They hate their government. And I had pretty wide, it was a surprisingly wide set of communications while I was there. So anyway, I think they're really ready for us. I know diehard communists. I've been working with diehard communists from Venezuela who've been helping us. The diehard communists telling me, like literally, I asked some of them about a year and a half ago, why are you helping us? And they gave me answers like, oh, yes, when I was 21, I was young and stupid. I fell for all this socialist stuff. We've lived under this. They've destroyed my country. And now we see the whole world sliding into this abyss. And Patrick, there is maybe one country that can stop it, can save it, the world, and that's the United States. And there's one man who can do it, and that's Donald Trump. I wish I were American and could vote for Donald Trump. This is a bunch of Venezuelan, formerly diehard socialists who were part of all this saying, I want to be voting for Donald Trump. He's the only man. What happened to Venezuela is going to happen to the world.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I just again, I just don't know because I don't have firsthand experience. I trust what you're saying. I'm always looking at for the worst case scenario, and it seems like there's a lot of worst case scenarios to come up here. And I also just the timing to me was suspicious of the fact that it was right when Trump refused to go to war with Iran, we bombed it, but we didn't have boots on the ground. We didn't commit in the way that Israel wanted us to commit. And it seemed like right after that, we started going after all these sort of, surrounding people who contribute to the war effort for Iran, which would include Venezuela. So, I mean, how much is that? Like, it's one of many points, right? It's the Tren de Aragua, it's the drugs, it's the electoral fraud, and it's the relations with Iran. I mean, how important is the relations with Iran in all of this?
Well, it's certainly important. I mean, the fact that it's very important that Iran's built drone factories. Iran has built drone factories in Venezuela with drones that can make it to the U.S. mainland. So, and they build thousands. So imagine waking up one day and you have drones. Maybe they're just hitting a warehouse or they're hitting the Alex Jones building, or maybe they're spraying a biologic over Austin, or maybe one of them has a nuke on board. They're building that. They've built this in Venezuela. They've got big drone operation.
I don't like that, though. You're talking about weapons of mass destruction. I just feel like we're going to another weapons of mass destruction chase.
We meant their weapons of mass destruction. It's called Smartmatic.
Yeah.
It almost took our country away. I don't know how someone can. This is, to me, 10,000 times worse than Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
This seems as more vital to me than anything since the revolution, with the possible exception of the Civil War.
Yeah.
It's much more important than World War I or World War II to me that we take care of Venezuela. World War II was 4,000 miles away. It didn't concern. I mean, yeah, I know all the arguments. This is same with World War I. This is, we were overthrown by a hostile nation. We can't let this slide. And it's just going to happen again and again. We have this cancer there that needs to be excised.
Yeah. And
I'm not a war guy. I really am not a war guy. I've regretted any support to any war I've ever given. I've seen a war. I've seen a lot of aftermath of war. I am so against war. I've never in my life thought there's got to be a war that is as mandatory as this. It'd be nice if we can do it with a minimum of, boots on the ground.
Well, and it seems like they're looking at pursuing clandestine sort of activities, right? At least that's what the rumors are, right? Trump hasn't ruled out troops, it looks like this is, Senate speech towards war powers clash as Trump ratchets up threats of strikes against Venezuela. So it seems like the legislature is going to try to, stop him from doing anything. Which, again, it's just all so complicated. I don't know whose side to take at this point. It seems like everybody's flipping, but would more clandestine activity, just like assassinating Maduro, kidnapping Maduro. I mean, I'm sure he's well enough defended, but is war necessary, or would a more clandestine surgical operation bear fruit?
Well, the folks I know in the military who study that flotilla that's off the coast of Venezuela say it's a very unusual comparison with other invasions. It's quite unusual. It's not a big invasion force.
Right.
Yeah, you got the Marine Expeditionary Unit, which is a parrot cap, packs a lot of punch and can take a small area, but this is not like we're not doing a Normandy invasion. The other than the Marine Force, which I now has built up some, it's basically the black helicopter crowd. It's the snatch and grab and kill capture people. It's JSOC and SEAL Team 6 and Delta Force and those kinds of elements and the helicopters that carry them. That's a lot of what's stationed there. It's going to be a real sort of black ops war. There's no popular support for these people. There's no popular people. Venezuelans are wondering what's taken us so long to do this. But no, it's not going to be the normal. It's not going to look anything like the Normandy invasion. Other than I would expect, what do we have now? 14,000 troops there. That might be something for taking there will be a small area that the U.S. takes to have a presence, but this is as much as possible a Venezuelan war.
Are they running into trouble trying to find, because it seems like usually you try to find people that are there, you fund or you empower the dissident groups to overthrow it. Is there a lack of those in Venezuela, or has that attempt been made, and how are they resisting that?
Everybody's the dissident group, but the problem is they don't have weapons. Even when something is as egregious as what happened last July 28th of last year, when they had an election, that they normally have elections and the opponents get 7 million and the dictator gets 2 million. And then they stuff 5.5 million ballots, or two become 7.5, and they win over and over and over. This time, something happened that I think I've indicated that interfered with their system that stuffs. It was broken on the day of the – somebody seems to have hacked it on the day of the election, and it broke, and they couldn't stuff. They canceled – the first results were coming in, and they were losing 80-20. And we all know now that they lost like 80-85 to – you know, maybe they got under 20% of the vote. They just shut down the television show where the results come in and they celebrate how every time they just squeak it out. They shut it down and they came out the next day and said, you know what? We won 51-49. Screw you. There were uprisal all over the country and they took in 2,000 people. And you know what they're doing to them? The men are being raped and castrated and dumped and killed. That's what they're doing to terrorize their people. That's what's happening in Venezuela. So they're on their last legs. These people are animals, and they need to be liquidated.
So what are the factions? Because this kind of makes sense. If Grinnell, and I'm just sticking on this bombshell that you've given us. So Grinnell was there last week. So it's like the CIA in Venezuela and the Democrats on one side, Trump on the other, I guess. I mean, how does this break down, and how much does America own in terms of the blame for this? Because, again, the thing about the stealing the elections, like I don't doubt that Venezuela was involved, but like the American State Department ran the thing, right? And they went down to Brazil and helped oust Bolsonaro with exactly the same playbook and wrote articles about how they did it. So, I mean, clearly...
It's our deep state and Venezuela together. Right. Both need to be liquidated.
Right.
Both. And I don't think you can do I don't think you do it domestic and then foreign. You do it foreign and then domestic.
I'd like to see them both at the same time. Because honestly, that would be a very convenient way to prosecute all this stuff.
Well, maybe something's going to happen. Maybe in a perfect world, what would happen is something would happen that would expose, it is now the official position of the United States government that these, in fact, are rigged. Maybe they'll have people who come forward and say, maybe there are already people who are already confessing. That would be a perfect world, that they would have people confess, bring them forward and say, here's all the confessions, it's right, and we're gonna handle our domestic problem one way, we're going to handle the Venezuela another. Just, yes, it is CIA and Rick Grinnell on one side. On the other is Marco Rubio and the Pentagon, and Pete Hegseth, who are, in my understanding, analyzing the problem exactly correctly.
Yeah.
Analyzing it correctly. That this is, if you let this slide, what Grinnell has been doing? Grinnell's been trying to broker deals, along with some other people very close to the president. Grinnell's been trying to broker deals where they're saying, well, look, Venezuela says we're sorry. And by the way, Biden told us to do it. And how about we give you rights to some oil field? And then we'll just let bygones be bygones. You can't do this. What we've just experienced this last 5 years, a significant part of it was this Venezuelan activity. And I can't see any world where I don't know why we have a military if we don't do something about this.
Right.
So I'm an extremist. I really am not for war. I'm not a chicken hawk. I hate war. I've seen what it does to two countries. We don't want it, but we can't let this slide.
If it can help round up our deep state, I'm for it. I do trust Hegseth, considering the fact that all my enemies are trying desperately to get him out of office.
You know what I hear about him? I hear over and over, he's smart and he's decisive. People say what they want. He's very decisive.
And that's what you need.
My fellow InfoWarriors, you have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025 at midnight to get 40% off site-wide. That means all the incredible supplements, Methylene Red, back in stock, Bovine Colostrum, Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox. It's all in stock right now, and it funds the tip of the spear. These are incredible products. Do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Enrich your health, your vitality, your life. They make great gifts, and it gives the gift to all of us of keeping this operation on the air in the face of the globalists. And 40% off is a huge deal with the t-shirts, the ball caps, the hoodies, the sweaters, all the apparel, because there's only about 60% markup in the apparel, so that is one hell of a deal. Please do your Christmas shopping right now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. Thank you for being the heart of this operation. Thank you for your support. You have till this Sunday, site-wide, 40% off. We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back
but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good, in some cases can be toxic, for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexmatur.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.